part of that mission is to inspire millions of students to participate in STEM, again, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so what we're trying to do is sort of big and grand, and, you know, granted, you might question two university students trying to build a company to do this, but we do have a great team around us, and we've basically started by creating the Create for Space program. And we've worked with the New South Wales Board of Studies, we've worked with a variety of teachers from across the country to build a program that enables high school students to participate in something that was once thought to be inaccessible. The Create for Space program is a one-semester program that can be taught in any high school across Australia and in the world. And what happens is students start to learn core STEM skills by participating. We give every school that participates in the program a Create for Space kit. And the students and teachers then work together over 9 modules across a semester to actually build their own space experiments. Now, we originally targeted students in years 9 and 10 to participate in this program. And the reason is because at that age and at that time in the students' lives, they're the most susceptible to be influenced by getting themselves into STEM. So what happens is year 11 and 12, you start to choose those subjects that might not be STEM subjects. They might be arts, they might be law, they might be history, and they're all great. But what we want to do is get them into science and technology. And that's why one of the big mantras of CubeWriter is to be as engaging as possible for students. Because I do not want a company, and I do not want teachers to be up here, like me actually, I really don't want this, to basically be up here talking at people. I want students working with teachers to create really engaging, memorable moments that will stick with them forever. And that's one of the big drivers for Create for Space. The other thing is that you probably already know, across the world, in all OECD countries, there is a decline in the rate of enrollments with STEM participation, students going to universities, into things beyond that as well. And we feel that this is unacceptable, especially since the fact that you've got a huge increase in demand for jobs that require STEM fields as well. So you've basically got this thing where you've got the rate enrollment going down and you've got this massive spike of jobs needing to be filled by scientists, technologists, engineers, and mathematicians going up. And that just doesn't make sense. And in order for us to be, any nation, to be prosperous, you need to have students and people going into STEM disciplines in the future. So we've got about 1,000 students participating in over 50 schools across the country in our Create for Space program at the moment. They include schools in Queensland, they include schools in New South Wales, and they also include schools in Victoria and in Melbourne here as well. And sort of the three big things that we try and teach students in the program, and that teachers try and teach students in the program, are about coding, are about the science and the physics of space, and the mathematics of data analysis and statistics. And we try and wrap that, again, in a really fun and engaging way, because, again, that's how we feel we'll be able to get the most students participating. So each school that signs up for the Create for Space program receives their own space curriculum. It's full of teaching and learning materials that help students and teachers work towards that ultimate goal of actually sending something into space. Now, what we try and do is assume that everyone that walks into that class has zero coding knowledge, which means that we can try and get the most amount of students engaged in this, in space and technology. And the way we do that is really by having that zero coding knowledge means that we can actually get a whole bunch more students involved. And as people and as students and teachers progress through the curriculum, they start to learn different skills. So some of the skills, like I mentioned before, aren't just coding, math, and science. They're also things like the history of space, the history of the industry, how Australia as a nation relates to that as well. They're all important things in the much broader context that students and teachers and basically people that aren't involved in the space industry don't really understand. I mean, for instance, not many people actually know that Germany was the first country to actually launch something into space. space of the V2 rocket. That's what we found out as we were researching this stuff, and I bet a whole bunch of students in high school don't know that, but we feel it's really important for people to know. Now, the other part of the Create for Space program involves us working deeply with the schools in order for them to maximize the outcomes and maximize sort of the joy and the great memories that they take from it. So that's actually a picture of my co-founder, Solange Kuna, working with one of the schools in Sydney who was having some trouble. And what we try and do is really help teachers facilitate learning for the students. And this is just one example of many sort of professional development days or Skype sessions that we've had in order to help students overcome some of the problems they have in the Create for Space program. Because what we're really trying to do is condense really complex topics and ideas to make it easy for people who have never touched this stuff to understand and start playing with it. It's kind of like Arduino for space, almost, because, you know, before, when you had really, really complex electronics that no one really understood, Arduino, Raspberry Pi came along, all those sort of things came along, and then it became really easy for people to access. And that's sort of what we're doing with space now. So the thing that ties the entire program altogether, the space mission, the curriculum, us working with schools, is the Sagan board. Now, the Sagan board is a cool little piece of technology that we've developed. It's powered by what's called a Raspberry Pi, which is similar to an Arduino. Again, basically that whole idea of simplifying electronics. And the Sagan board essentially is a data logger that's been designed to survive in space and designed to NASA specifications. So the Sagan board is the thing that we're going to be launching to the International Space Station to actually run student experiments. And at the same time, each class or each school that participates in our program gets at least one Sagan board, an identical copy of some satellite hardware to actually run and use in classrooms to better understand what's happening. And that's, again, part of the engagement factor here, because we now have really cool satellite hardware that little kids get to play with. And that's just really awesome, I think. So you've got this board, and 90% of the learning that happens with the Create for Space program happens around this board. I mean, you've got coding that happens, obviously, with the Raspberry Pi. Then you have the data that you get from it, which really helps you understand the world around you. And then you have the mathematics and the data analysis that you do afterwards in some of the later modules in our program. And so, like I said before, the Sagan board really ties together the whole idea of everything. It really makes things tangible for students and really makes things easy to understand, because now you've got something that is cool looking, you've got something that goes to space, and you've got something that you can touch, and you've got something that you can do experiments with, not just in space, but in the classroom and around your home as well. So towards the end of the program, towards the end of the journey, you know, because students start off with not knowing much, and then towards the end, they actually have to start realizing that they're doing a space mission. They're actually starting to code things. They're actually starting to realize that this is all for a purpose. And that purpose is to develop an experiment around the Sagan board in order to run on the International Space Station. So what we do towards the end of the program is really try and teach students about design methodologies, sort of engineering practice, try and get them involved with teamwork as well, because there are some students that aren't as good at the coding and might be better at the science, and then that might be the opposite as well. So you've really got the sort of scientist engineers that break off into groups, and they start doing their own thing. So the students that actually start figuring out what kind of hypotheses they want to test in space, whether it be, you know, can I find the gravitational constant using, gravitational acceleration using the accelerometer we have on board, or what does the magnetic field look like, when we're in space, or what does the barometer read when inside the ISS? Because actually, no one knows the temperature of the ISS. I tried Googling that the other day, and it says shirt sleeve. But these are the kind of questions little kids and students as well and older students start asking themselves and start asking the rest of their team. So now we're getting towards the end of the program here. We're starting to really nut down what experiment we want to send to the International Space Station. We're really starting to figure out what kind of parameters and what kind of variables we have to deal with. And this is when students actually stop doing broad strokes in their code, stop just gathering data for the sake of gathering data, but really trying to define what they actually want to do and set out these sort of parameters. And again, they do it in Python because Raspberry Pi, it's really easy to use Python. Python's a lovely coding language for beginner students as well. And once they've actually got that software experiment that they want to run, they start testing it on Earth. They might put it in a balloon. We've got a few students that have done that. They might put it in a freezer. They might put it in different extreme environments just to see what happens. And then that ultimately it actually gets sent to space as well. So now the program ends and the students send us their software experiments. We then install them onto our payload that we are launching to the International Space Station. Our payload can support up to 3,000 individual software experiments over the course of a one-month mission. And then we launch it to space. And we're launching on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral this year. And the payload, along with hundreds, if not thousands, of student experiments, will then be integrated to the International Space Station by an astronaut, and it will automatically start running the software that the students have created. Once the experiments have been run in space, then the data will get stored on the ISS and beamed down to the Earth and redistributed by CubeWriter to all the schools that have participated in the program. Now, there are so many awesome things that we found that students love and find really memorable about the program. I mean, we've got students who are literally jigging class just to make sure that they can come to the CubeWriter class that another teacher is running. We've got students, and it's a quote from students before, they said, "Give me hardware and an API and I can do anything." And this is like a kid in year 10. Their students really become inspired when they realize that, you know, the sky's not the limit for them because they're literally going beyond that now. And the other thing is, teachers actually become reinvigorated to start teaching in the classrooms again, which is something powerful that we didn't realize until just recently. We found out that teachers before, you know, some teachers, not all teachers, but some teachers, you know, sort of didn't really, they weren't really passionate about teaching anymore. But then once they got their hands on a CubeWriter Create for Space kit, they actually realized how fun it could be because they're doing something awesome, something cool that none of the other teachers are doing, you know? And that's something really awesome for us as well, when we can actually reinvigorate the whole profession of teaching with this. So the things that are coming up for us, the big things for CubeWriter, are the fact that all the schools, the 50 schools that I mentioned before, they have their experiments due. They have to submit all their code to us by September, end of September, so we can test it for a November launch on the SpaceX Falcon 9, like I said before. And then the experiment results will be beamed down by the end of November, just in time for school holidays, so you get a really, really awesome send-off for that year. And currently, students are really busy trying to figure out what experiments they want to run. They're not really sure. They're like, oh, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. You know, CubeWriter, can you help us? We need to figure out this or that. And then we go ask the partners that we're working with, hey, can this work? Can this not work? You know, tell us the feasibility about this on the ISS. So it's all really sort of just a learning thing for all of us at the moment. And the awesome thing is that we've got new schools joining every day. We really like that because we want to grow the program, obviously. We're starting to get schools overseas as well. We're starting to get schools from really remote parts of Australia. There's really no limit to who's actually participating in the program. We've got really, really rich, affluent schools participating in Sydney, and then we've got really low SES schools, and they're all sort of getting the same thing, democratized access to space. And for a lot of you, that might sound like a really lame thing and really cliched that, you know, the people that are in the space industry, but it's true. We're giving kids democratized access to space. Whether you're rich or poor, you work for NASA or not, you can now do something, even though it's small, in space. So thank you very much for listening to my presentation. I really appreciate it. And if you guys know any schools or if you'd like to help out in any way, please let me know. Thank you.